Hi, everyone. I'm an addict named Rhonda. I thought there was going to be more reading. I just want to thank God, you know, for Narcotics Anonymous, you know, for, like, introducing me to this new way of life. And I guess I want to thank Eric for, like, asking me to do this. You know, like, when I seen him, I was celebrating an anniversary. I seen that it's 5/16/91. And I was celebrating my anniversary, and Eric asked, he's like, you know, can I get your number to come out and speak at one of our meetings, you know, and I thought it was like a regular NA meeting. I was like, sure, you know, no problem, you know, and then later when he called me, you know, he mentioned this retreat, and then he mentioned the title, If the Drugs Don't Get You, the Lifestyle Will, and I was like, you know, instantly I was like, afraid of something. That title was for somebody who, like, struggled with, like, same thing, you know, and, now, wasn't my story, like, I didn't relate and I couldn't identify, but I kept praying and, like, and I kept talking to God and I kept thinking, you know, and, like, what popped up in my lifestyle, you know, and, like, how my lifestyle was before I came to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, we talk about, like, having ideas, attitudes, and behaviors. You know, like, I know today, like, just how, like, powerful my disease was and how it, like, lives between my ears. And it still lives there because it still tells me a lot of times, you know, like, you don't have anything to offer. You know, you can't do it. You know, just say no. Just don't do it, you know. So, like, it's a struggle sometimes for me to, like, continue to put one foot in front of the other and just show up in spite of. You know, it really takes a whole lot of prayer and a whole lot of sharing with some other people to give me the courage to, like, come up here, you know. So I have absolutely no idea what's going to come out. I'm just going to tell my story, and I'm just going to let God do what he does, you know. I'm so grateful, like, for Narcotics Anonymous for introducing me to the God of my understanding. I'm so grateful for the love that I've received from that God in spite of myself, in spite of, like, my rebellion that I do go through with my spiritual walk with the God of my understanding. You know, so, like, I was talking about the lifestyle, you know, and my lifestyle when I was using, you know, and what I found out in Narcotics Anonymous was my ideas, my attitudes, and my behavior. You know, and my idea was, like, I never measured up. You know, I always had to be, like, my other sister. You know, I always had to talk about this, just, like, gnawing on the inside. And I didn't quite know what it was, but I just knew I wasn't okay with where I was at, the skin I was in, my family I lived with. You know, none of it worked, you know. I always wanted to be, like, the neighbors across the street or my sister. And as I grew up, that thing just kept growing inside of me, you know. So, like, my dad, like, was telling me how shy I was. And the reason why I was so shy was so full of fear and self-doubt, you know, that I never really thought that I had anything to, like, contribute to anything, you know, and I didn't like, the fact that I wore glasses and I was light-skinned and I had this long hair that nobody seemed to like, and I was getting in fights, you know, and that kind of, like, really messed me up, too. Like, that just kind of fed into, like, you don't fit, you know, you just don't measure up, you know, and then, like, I got introduced to, like, the drug, you know, and that kind of, like, eased those endless fights. About the obsession of never endless thoughts and those thoughts of, like, always telling you that I'm going to come from the other. get me to myself. And I was kind of like, I fantasized a whole lot as a little kid, you know. And so, like, that's what I did then, too. And that's what helped when I was a little kid, you know. And then, like, as I grew up, you know, it's like, what do I do with these thoughts? What do I do with these feelings? What do I do with all this stuff inside of me? Someone introduced me to a drug, you know, and it kind of, like, subsided that stuff, you know, inside of me. And I thought, this is it. You know, I've arrived. I found the thing that gave me the courage to be okay, to talk to, if not talk to just, like, be able to be in the presence of other people. I'm comfortable, because I always thought I'm comfortable, you know. And so, like, and I thought, too, like, in the beginning, that it was just going to be recreational, and I'm going to stop at any time, and, you know, I don't know about anything else, but when I started, you know, I was only going to smoke weed, and that was it, you know. And so, I didn't know about, like, this disease and how this hole and this void we talk about, how it continues to grow, you know. And I didn't know anything about, like, one is too many, a thousand, never enough, you know. I did not know that in spite of just the drug, like, I was also on a mission of living happily ever after. So, like, any man that showed me any attention, you know, I felt in order to, like, keep him, you know, that I had to do whatever it took. You know, and if that meant, like, meeting you on the first night and we go, you know, sleep together, that's what I had to do. That's what I had to do. You know, and it was no different, like, if I had to use and I had to use and whatever I had to do that, that's what I had to do. You know, and I thought, like, everybody lived like that. You know, I really thought that was, like, normal living. You know, I thought, like, this was it. You know, my head told me, too, it ain't going to get no better. But, you know, it was kind of like, it wasn't so bad. I had to continue to use more because of the guilt and the shame that I felt, you know, because, like, yeah, in the evening when you're drinking and you're partying, yeah, that sounds good, and you sleep with so-and-so, yeah, that wasn't so bad, but then the shit wore off, you know, and, like, what you did appears, and, like, how do I live with that? I got to continue to use, you know, so, like, that was my lifestyle. You know, in the end, when I got introduced to crack, I thought I'd never do a whole bunch of other things, and I did those too. You know, and so what do you do when you're left with that? You know, you have to continue to use it. I didn't know about having a choice. You know, I did not know that I had another way of living. No one ever taught me that. You know, I grew up in a household that wasn't very nurturing. You know, so I really didn't know how to, like, nurture myself and be good to myself and love myself and like myself, you know, because of the way that I thought about myself, you know, that was all wrapped up into that lifestyle, you know. And and for real, I really thought I was okay. You know, like I said, I thought this was a wannabe drug dealer, you know, and, you know, and that in there, it kind of like turned into like a little crack house, and the landlord came and took appliances, and, you know, like, in spite of all that, so what you got hold of you? But anywho, that's all a part of that, you know. So when I thought that if I left the town and I got out on my own, that I would be okay, you know. I got sick and tired of, like, being with him and being in charge and allowing him to, like, run and dictate my life. I was always, that's another thing, allowing somebody else to, like, tell me how I should think, how I should feel, you know, and how I should live. And a lot of that had to do with, like, my mother, my other sister, this man in my life, whatever man in my life, you know. So, like, in that end, in that bottom for me, I could not wait to leave that one, because I know how to do this. I no longer need him. I can do this on my own. And so that's what I set out to do. And all it did was get worse. You know, in my end, like, I could not afford to pay rent. You know, I had lived in an apartment. I had dreams of, like, going to school and doing certain things. But, like, when I'm caught up in, like, using in that lifestyle, you don't do that. You know, not my lifestyle. Not when I was using. That's not what I did. You know, it was all about living to use and using to live. And if you wasn't getting high, something was wrong with you. You know, that's really what I thought and what I believed, that something was, like, truly wrong with you. You know, so I'm, like, so grateful, like, that God had already prepared this place, Narcotics Anonymous, for me to come to, you know, my hope shot, you know, where I can find some people just like me. Because, see, I didn't know that y'all did what I did. And another part was that in and out 20 after 20 run, you know, that nonstop thing, you know, that's part of that lifestyle. I don't want to go back. You know, so the bottom line, like, the drugs and the lifestyle, they did me in. You know, and I didn't want any more of that. Once I got a taste of this, you know, once I started, like, learning how to, like myself and stop doing the things that I was doing because that's what it required, like there was some work involved, you know, I got here and I thought when I first came here I was going to learn how to, like, use successfully like a whole lot of other people did, you know, and I know that, like, I'm not alone. And I came here because I really just didn't believe, you know, that you could, like, be okay without using, you know. And I didn't plan on staying, you know. And I came and I just, like, things just started happening. You know, they say, like, don't give up. Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle. They told me, you know, like, after 90 days, if you're not satisfied, we'll gladly return your misery and stuff like that. You know, and once I, like, put the drug down and, like, changed the people, places, and the thing, you know, because that was another thing, you know, which, like, trigger me thinking that I wanted to, like, go back to where I came from, you know, the changing of the people, places, and things. And that was, like, my sister, you know, because she wasn't in the room. She's in the room today, thank God. But she wasn't there yet. And another friend of mine. And I would, like, go around their house, you know, thinking, you know, I don't know what I was thinking, but I didn't know what else to do. You know, I didn't have any relationships yet with anybody else in the fellowship. When I came to the fellowship, I really didn't know anyone, you know. All I knew is, like I said, is like I came here. I don't know if I came here to, like, totally stop. I really just came here to, like, find out some other ways to, like, use successfully, you know, because I thought, like, and it was the same thing. You know how, like, if anybody, you know, like, when you're out there and you're using, and you're like, I got to leave that particular drink away because that really messed me up, you know, and then it wasn't. And then when I got here, and then with the drinks, it was also this particular man. If I was, like, different men that I came in contact with, it was like, well, not those kind of men, not that kind of makeup. Then I would look with men with different characteristics. You know, I didn't really know that was me. You know, I didn't know that I was a problem. You know, I thought it was everything outside of me was a problem. You know, and then when I got here, you know, like I said, I wasn't sure if I was a problem. I just thought, you know, I needed to come here and find some new way that I'd use, and I'd be okay. And when I got here, I started to find out that I really liked what was going on here. You know, I didn't think everybody was clean. You know, I just knew other people was getting high, and I just figured if I come and I show up, eventually I'd run into that person. And thank God for God, because I never did, you know, like, I came around, and I did what y'all did. I didn't quite understand it, you know, it was like, whatever, you know, so I did the 90 and 90. I got the sponsor, and I got the home group, you know, and then when it came time to, like, do some step work, I, you know, it's another thing, I'm a lazy individual, and I, like, want all the rewards without doing the work. You know, so, like, when I got here and they told me, like, after my year, my first year was about learning how to use the weed, you know, and reaching out and asking. And just the sponsor that I had, like, put me in, like, company with other women. And that was, like, real uncomfortable for me because, like, we being, you know, with my low self-esteem and my insecurity, I never thought that I measured up to any woman because I was always comparing my insides with your outside. If I thought you was pretty in me, you ain't got no issues, you ain't got no problem. All you want is my man, you know, and that's the way I thought, you know, because, like, that's how I fantastic. All I wanted was your band, really. If I could get the opportunity, then I would take the opportunity. So I know if I thought like that, then you thought like that too. You know, so I didn't really, like, particularly trust women too much. You know, didn't hang out with a whole lot of them. Had a couple, you know, and I wasn't a true friend of them either. You know, because given the right circumstance, I thought that I was so good that I could take your man and live happily ever after. You know, so that was all a part of my lifestyle when I was out here using. You know, it was ways and means to, like, fill the hole because I was so empty on the inside. And not really knowing that's what it was. I didn't know that until I got here. So bringing it into Narcotics Anonymous, and I came here, and the sponsor I had told me to, like, work some steps. You know, I said, well, I already got a job. I work, you know, 8 to 4, you know, and I don't know if I want to do all that, you know. And she just chuckled and told me to read the first step. And I was like, okay, whatever, you know. And so I did that. And in those same behaviors that I came in here with, I was still searching. I was still searching for the happily ever after. I was still chasing the fantasy, you know, and the first step told me, you know, like, people, places, and things will not fix me. People, places, and things will not heal me on the inside. You know, I had to hit a bottom in that area. I had to totally surrender on my knees and cry out to my higher power and ask my higher power to help me. You know, because I just really needed to feel some love because I was feeling so empty, and I've always felt so empty on the inside. You know, I never really felt connected to anything, you know. And it's like through that prayer and through many more prayers, I started feeling connected to my higher power. You know, I was like really thankful because I always believed in a God. Never had a relationship with a God. Didn't know that you could have a conversation with a God. I did not know that. I did not know that all that I was like looking for other people, places, and things to fulfill in me, I already had it. Like, all I really needed to do was, like, come here, put the drug down, and start applying some principles to my situations, to my lifestyle, you know. And on any given moment, too, I'm not perfect, you know, but, no stretch of the means. I definitely need to keep coming here. I still need to keep working the steps, you know. Like, these principles that we learn throughout the steps and the traditions bring some hope in my life. You know, when I see them working in your life, they spring hope in my life that if it's working for you, I know it can work for me. But am I willing to do the work? And not all the time am I willing to do the work, you know, but I'm not willing to go back to the lifestyle that I left, you know. So, like, here, it's an active change in my ideas, in my attitudes, and definitely in my behaviors. You know, because my behavior sometimes can have me in places and situations. I'm talking about financially, you know, my behaviors can get really unmanageable, you know, especially if I'm chasing. And I can chase anything, any feeling, any, like, that jolt, that feeling that you get. You know, I don't know if you can identify with, like, swiping the credit card, you know, and then you're chasing, you know, with those parachutes, and then you're chasing. You know, I can get obsessed and compulsive with a lot of things that make me feel good and what I think look good, you know. And then, in the end, and my disease, and it's like, I don't know if it affects y'all like it affects me, but it's a yeah, don't tell nobody, yeah. And then you do this shit, and the minute you fuck up, you fuck up. You know, I can't believe you did that shit. Damn, you know, like, where were you? That same disease that was telling me, yeah, go ahead, get one more. Go ahead, sleep with him. Go ahead, you can do that. You know, that same thing, it told me I can do it. And once I did it, the emptiness on the inside, it left. You know, right in the gut. You know, it's that lifestyle that I'm not willing to go back to. You know, like, I've come here, like, I've acquired some friendships, some new relationships. And most of all, the one that I talked about is with my higher power. You know, I'm so grateful, like, Narcotics Anonymous is truly, it's not a spiritual, it's not a religious program. It is a spiritual program. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, because, like, sometimes religiously, I think I should be behaving and thinking and acting a certain way. But when I come to Narcotics Anonymous, it's about be yourself, be who you are, and be okay with where you are and what it is you're doing. And if you got an issue and if you want some help, then, like, you need to ask somebody, tell somebody. and the help is here for you, you know, and I'm, like, so grateful for that, you know, because, like, I've made some, you know, mistakes and some different choices. Like, when I got here, like I tell you, I was still, you know, chasing the fantasy, and, you know, I'm looking for my husband, and why y'all gonna be my husband, and you know how we do. Women do it, men do it. You know, you get to scoping, you get to picking somebody else, you know, and that was my process again, you know, until, like, I hit a bottom there, too, you know, and I finally surrendered, you know, and I asked God to, like, have his way, you know, because, like, all I knew is my picker was weak. I've been picking for a long time, and I had to hit a bottom there, too, and let somebody else do the driving, and so I surrendered, you know, and a friend of mine was a friend of this guy, and I met him, and we started going out, you know, and it's been good from the start once I got out of the way, you know. And then, you know, I was, like, at this point in that relationship that I thought, you know, this man, I'm going to, like, get him to be, because I'm always, like, making plans and trying to, like, orchestrate outcomes, too. You know, and, you know, me and this guy that I'm married to today, and at the time we weren't married, and, like, I was, like, hell-bent to get this man to marry me. You gonna marry me? And that's what I said on the inside, and I was always constantly bringing this up, always. You know, I was bringing it up to him, and I was constantly getting hurt. So my high power told me to shut up. Just shut up. You know, one time in my prayer was just shut up. Stop. You know, and I said, okay. You know, I surrendered. And I stopped. And, like, things started happening. We got engaged and we got married. You know, and two, I need to talk about, like, the lifestyle that I'm living today is, like, I'm liking me a whole lot better. You know, I don't put myself in as many moats. I don't put myself in jackpots. Financially, I mess up every now and then. That's the truth. I do. Because I like to shop. And I need to hit a bottom and surrender and really invite God and share more. You know, like, share before you come. Not after you got the shoes and what it cost you and now my credit cards are at this amount. And share before. If you really want the help, if you really want surrender, if you really think you got an issue, share before. You know, and not all the time do I share before. You know, and this last time, you know, when I got my credit card to a place where I said, and I always got a master plan. Always got a master plan. I got this figured out. He's not going to find out, and it's going to be okay. Damn. Every time he finds out, shit, and he tells me, oh, what web I weave. You know, like, damn, you know, and I got another master plan, you know, got a new job, and I'm making more money, and you know what, like, and that's all from the gift of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I got here, you know, I worked some steps, I got involved in this program, you know, they told me service work, get involved in service, and it has served me truly, because I didn't know it was going to help build up my low self-esteem and my low self-worth. I didn't know it was doing all that. I didn't know it was, like, feeding that hole on the inside. I didn't know it was starting to connect me with other people just like me, getting involved, seeing, really, how are we helping the self-suffering addicts? You know, and, like, dang, why ain't more people doing this? You know, and the sponsor was like, you keep the focus on you, and you do what you feel you need to do, and let God handle the rest, and he'll take care of all that. And, like, and there's usually a few for the many that take care of, like, getting things together, you know. And it's so awesome, you know. It truly is. And it's so rewarding. And it's an inside job. You know, what I found out, like, recovery and living and enjoying life, it is an inside job, you know. And I have to go on the inside, you know. And sometimes I'm not always willing. You know, sometimes in my recovery, I've had to hit a bottom to become willing to do whatever is necessary, you know, to change. You know, and they say change you must or die you will. And, like, so, like, I have, through my recovery process, have had some spiritual, I guess, deaths. you know, and there were moments through my journey, you know, because like I said, I had this fantasy, you know, and so I met the man, and, you know, and he's a wonderful guy, you know, and I've always wanted somebody to just love and accept me for who I am, you know, and the, first of all, I needed to love and accept me for who I am. That's what God says. So I was like, okay, so I'll work on it. You know, and I worked on that, you know, and like through this marriage, I am still responsible for my own recovery. I'm still responsible for me spiritually, mentally, and physically. You know, it is not his responsibility, and I have to do the work to be okay with Rhonda and whatever issue that comes up with her. But like the fantasy, I talk about, we got the marriage, and it's working good, and so then my next thing, okay, baby's got to come. And it was a must, and it was a have to, you know, and it was because, like, all that, if it came, then I would be okay. I forgot I was being safe. I would be okay, and we would live happily ever after, you know, because that's what I wanted to do, live happily ever after. You know, as a kid, I watched Leave It to Beaver, the Flintstones, everybody got married and had 2 point whatever kids, had the little gated fence, and they seemed to live happily ever after, you know, and that's what I was on my mission to do, and it didn't happen, you know, and I did not know, you know, God had me in a place, like, I guess, that I could, like, take that and absorb that one. That was, like, a huge pill to, like, for me to swallow and get some acceptance with. You know, that we went through many processes to try to have children, you know, and they didn't work out, you know, and I really thought that, like, God abandoned me, you know, but God never promised me children, you know, and Narcotics Anonymous never promised me children, you know, but what God does, he gives me all that I need to get through those moments of feeling less than and not whole. You know, like, because I was still, like, part of that is feeling complete to me. You know, and without that, then I wasn't really a whole woman. You know, but it says in our literature that we are whole human beings. You know, and I'm grateful, you know, that I was here in this fellowship because I don't know how I would have, like, handled that information, you know, if I wasn't here. You know, and still today, you know, I need to tell you, like, in my idea, my attitudes and ideas, I thought, you know, well, then, epic, then what was the sense of, like, my disease, it ain't going nowhere. It told me, well, like, if you ain't having kids, then what's the sense of staying married? You know, like, you could be on your own doing whatever you want with Joe, Jack, and Harry, or Larry, or Mary, or anybody, you know, and cunning baffling. Thank God for sponsorship, and thank God for God, and thank God for the literature, you know, and thank God for me really having the ability to see my own reality, you know, like, and knowing from where I came from, and knowing that my relationship and my marriage is blessed. It really is, you know, and it is really a good marriage. I have never had a relationship this good before. You know, I really haven't, you know, and it's not so much that, you know, it was like, why did I feel like it was so necessary to, like, have that, and to not have that, then I was less than, you know, which was not the truth, which is not the truth. But sometimes my head, and that's what was, like, really messing with me this morning, you know, and sometimes that just creeps up from out of nowhere, you know, and my head tells me, God don't love you, you know, he didn't give you what you truly desire. He just truly don't love you. And you know what? If it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, if it wasn't for this God Divine program, I wouldn't be where I'm at. And I know God loves me in spite of myself. And I talked about, like, my spiritual death was, like, when I first got that information, I made a conscious decision that I wasn't going to pray no more. Like, this ain't working. It ain't working. I done did all this work. Done five spiritual principles. Doing other things in other areas, you know. Self-centered me, didn't get what I wanted. And I'm a spoiled brat and don't really know how to say no or not right now. And, like, in that area, I truly had and continue to have to grow up spiritually. And sometimes it is really hard to, like, grow spiritually and in spite of believe and trust in the God of my understanding. That I had to turn to you people, the power greater than myself, that could restore me to some sanity. You know, come and share what was going on with me. And if I didn't share, come to a meeting, get some hugs, you know, listen to learn, you know, the basics. Go to meetings. Don't pick up. Don't take nothing. Call your sponsor. Pray. Help somebody else. And no matter what, don't use. You know, and that works for me. You know, and I came and I shared, you know. And still today, and I know, like, sometimes those moments will come. You know, but on our way up here, there was a sign that says, God is large, and he's in charge. And I said, yeah, he is large. And he's truly larger than my pain. And he can, like, help me and, like, give me what I need to walk through it in spite of it. You know, but I've also made a decision to, like, help some other young people. But my life is so freaking busy. You know, a blessing is the new job. A blessing was, of Narcotics Anonymous, was to go back to school, get a degree. You know, I didn't think that was possible, but I did it. You know, and it was through service work. Y'all told me to come early, sit up front, you know, and I did that. I got the degree, and I said, oh, shit, now I got to go get the job. Bam, fear kicked in. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to work. You don't got the experience. You don't got what it takes. You know, but I prayed in spite of, you know. Because, like, through, like, that, me making that decision, that conscious decision to not pray, there was a point in that time that I said, my hope, my help only comes through prayer. It does come through you people, but I definitely need a relationship with the God of my understanding. It is just too dangerous to not, for me, an addict who thinks like me, who acts like me, behaves like me, to not have a relationship, a working relationship with a higher power. And that's what I need, a working relationship. You know, and it's through that that I share honestly. When I'm not feeling okay, and I feel like he gave up on me, you know, and like God helps me in spite of. And it does pass. You know, but like I said, like I went back to school and I got that, and I got this job, and oh my goodness, it has really, it's a lot, it's a whole lot of work, and I enjoy it and I like it, and I didn't think I would be here, you know, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be there, you know, to learn, and I'm the oldest member on my team, and I'm feeling like so like less than. I'm like, yeah, you know, they know so much, and it's in this technology field, and instead of, like, feeling less than, ask for help, Rhonda. Learn from them, because you can learn a whole lot, and they're willing to help you to learn, you know, and it's a learning environment, you know, so you right where you're supposed to be and right where you need to be, but sometimes it wears my hands out, and so when I get home, I'm exhausted, I'm wiped. You know, and I don't do a whole lot. But there is a part of me that wants to, like, get involved in Big Sisters, you know, and, like, help another young lady however I can, you know, and like, through prayer and asking God what it is that he would like me to do to, like, give back to help someone else. You know, I might not be able to have kids physically, you know, but I can help someone else, you know, someone else's kid who might not be able to help them at the moment. I can do that. You know, and I'm so grateful for, like, God putting me in Narcotics Anonymous to give me that information to know that I can still be of service to someone else in any other form, you know. And God uses us in so many different ways, forms, and fashions. It's not good for me to stay boxed in to, like, how I'm thinking God should be using me. And if it ain't that way, there's something wrong. And that's wrong in my thinking. You know, so, like, God uses me and uses each and every one of us in a multitude of ways, you know, and it's up to me to, like, stay open and be willing to, like, allow him to use me as he sees fit, you know, and sometimes it is a struggle, you know, because I have this idea and plan, you know, and I got to surrender that, you know, so, like, once again, thank you so much for the opportunity, and most of all, you know, I truly thank Divine Intervention for creating a program called Narcotics Anonymous, you know, with steps, principles, and people who are just like me who can identify, you know, because I need you guys in my life. I really do. And I need the nurturing because sometimes I'm incapable of nurturing myself. you know, I didn't get it growing up, and so sometimes it's hard to give it, and sometimes it's hard to even receive it, you know, but I know that I need it, you know, so I'm real thankful, and thanks for this opportunity for letting me share. I'm done. Thanks. All right, thanks, Rhonda, for sharing. That was an awesome message. Okay, I would like to introduce...
I'm an addict named Kenny. Need to thank Unity Retreat for allowing me the opportunity to come up here and share today. Real nervous about this whole thing, you know, just like any other time. I mean, I've shared before, but just like it's almost like a new baby for me, you know, every time, you know, you share, it's kind of like a new experience, you know. I need to thank God to be breathing. You know, I always say that, you know, because I know my lifestyle was about killing me, you know, one bag at a time. I used to live. I lived to use. I was a man who was obsessed with using. My lifestyle was about self-degradation. My lifestyle was about self-hate. My lifestyle was about dishonesty, lack of willingness to change, not so much the lack of willingness to change, the inability to find out how that was going to happen, you know, because there was times in my active addiction when I would look at myself in the mirror and I would say, Matt, you know, this is fucked up, man. You know, this is not the way you're supposed to be rolling, man. And so there was moments of clarity when I knew that there needed to be some change in my life. I just didn't know how to bring that about, you know, because, again, my lifestyle was about self, self-centeredness, me having the perception that, like I learned in the barbershop, you know, when I was young, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, boy, get your act together, you know, you need to, you know, straighten your life up, and you need to... And it was all about the perception that I needed to do this. I needed to find a way to handle my business. I needed to find a way to put my lifestyle back in order. So when I came into Narcotics Anonymous through the sequence of events with the criminal court system and all that, you know, them people intervening. Because, again, I didn't have the ability to say, hey, I need to go to a rehab. Hey, I need to go to Narcotics Anonymous. Hey, here's how I'm going to stop using drugs. I didn't have that. My lifestyle was about manipulation. My lifestyle was about thinking that I was alone. My lifestyle was about me thinking that I was unique, that no one else suffered from what I suffered from. If you was facing what I was facing, you'd be fucked up in the game too. You know, I did a lot of that type of thinking, spouting out that kind of jargon. So coming into Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't leave that joker home. Well, I didn't have a home when I came in, okay? I was homeless, all right? I can't say I had this home. I didn't leave him on the outside of the door when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. Ways and means for me to get more was through manipulation, and because I'm not some big willy, usually my manipulation came through women. I found me a woman that was going to, you know, help me. Come on, Kenny, you'll be all right, you know, come on in here, I'll fix you. Yeah, baby, fix you, and I was always game for that. And so I came into the rooms with that same mentality. So I remember finding women in Narcotics Anonymous who were just as sick as I was. I'm, you know, just a part of my experience here with the lifestyle was that I just got out of rehab, and I came from Jersey into Pittsburgh. I went to a halfway house in Altoona, and I was in this halfway house for maybe 3 weeks, and I go to the post office, and I meet this young lady. She's fine as hell. I'm like, I'm in love immediately. I'm standing in line waiting to get a couple stamps, and I'm waiting. Oh, man, she's looking so good, and she's like, hey, you know. And so what happens is that she rides me home from the post office, and I immediately fall in love. But I don't even have the honesty to let her know that I'm living in this halfway house. So I tell her to drop me off down the street, right? I live right there. This is my apartment right there. But I'm living in a halfway house down there, so I don't have the honesty, right? So I go back and I tell everybody in the halfway house that, yeah, I done found the one. I done found this one that I'm looking for, and I'm marrying this girl. I don't care what y'all say. And then the people say to me, well, man, you've been in here 3 weeks spouting off all this Gucci shit about, you know, how you wanted to change people, places, and things, how you wanted to improve the quality of people that you hung out with, that you wanted to improve the quality of things in your life. And I said, well, I do. And that was for real. I thought, anyway. So they say to me, well, why do you want a woman who wants a man who ain't got nothing? So they had to say that again. Do I need to say that one again? Why do you want a woman that wants a man that ain't got nothing to offer? I had nothing to offer this woman. I had no phone number. I had no, you know, I'm telling her, I'm homeless. I'm jobless. I got two pair of pants. I have no spirit. I'm still lying. I'm still manipulating. The lifestyle is still alive and well. A week later, because I'm being confronted with this, I get into an altercation with a guy into the halfway house. You know, so I'm still living that quick response, quick reaction, how dare you talk to me kind of life. Lifestyle. You know, so I'm manipulating. And I went about my business manipulating women for about a year in my recovery. I mean, they threw, you know, eventually I had to leave the halfway house. Where do I go? I go with a woman, the same woman. And then I realized how sick she was. You know, how sick could she be to want me? I had nothing to offer her. You know, I had nothing. When I say nothing, I had nothing to offer a woman at that time. You know, I'm married now, so I got a little something, I feel, you know, obviously, you know. And my sponsor at that time, he always told me, he said, Matt, twos get with twos, man. Fives get with fives. Nines will get with nines. A two can't get with a nine, right? Because a nine ain't going to let a two step to her. You know, so anyway, that's, there's a nine will be able to say, shit, fuck that. You're a two, motherfucker. You got to step away. You know, I mean, that's how I really, I mean, a real nine, you know what I mean? And I ain't talking about, you know, someone who just looks good and tastes good and feels good. I'm talking about someone who's got something inside, you know? That's my story. I hope nobody got offended there. All right? So now I embark, you know, I'm staying clean. I got a sponsor. I got a home group. No commitment in the home group, though. I got no commitment in the home group. Everything. I got a sponsor by name. I ain't calling them. Same lifestyle. No commitment. I got no commitment here in recovery. I'm just showing up. What else is my lifestyle out there in the street? In the street, hanging on the corner, I was really good just standing there in the corner talking shit with no substance. I had no money. No nothing. When people would start going at the end of, you know, I'm from East Orange, Jersey, North, and that's a city, right? And so I'm standing on the corner, and everybody starts dispersing. You know, they got places to go. I'm like, yo, man, you know, where y'all going? You know, I'm trying to hang on. I'm trying to act as if. I'm trying to, you know, I want to be, in other words, the bottom line is I want to be accepted by these people. You know, I'm acting, I'm mimicking, I'm pretending, I'm fronting, I'm putting on faces. So I came into Narcotics Anonymous and I did the same thing, which was good, because I needed to act like you guys. That was something that I really felt like I needed to do. I needed to find a way to act and talk the talk of Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know the lingo. I didn't know powerlessness. I didn't know what I meant. I didn't know one day at a time. I mean, you know, obviously at that point in time, there was no substance here, but at least, you know, I was pretending, and that got me through some critical points in my early recovery. When my nephew got killed back in Jersey, I remember getting on a train and going back there, and as soon as I get faced with that kind of stuff, something with some credence, something with some substance, you know, I'm going down to the county jail. I want to visit the dude who killed my nephew. You know, I had been in the county jail long enough and enough times where the CO's down, they said, Matt, get the fuck away from me. You can't come in here. We know what's up with you. You know, so they send me away. Thank God for that. And, you know, in my mind, I wanted to get a visual on this guy. I wanted to find out what this dude looked like. And later on down the line, I found out what he looked like. Because I was in an NA meeting with him 7-8 years later because he got released. And all I could do was because... All I could do was walk out the meeting crying because I felt less than. I felt like I had let my family down because I was supposed to be that guy that was supposed to do this guy because he had did my nephew. And, you know, and I remember leaving out of that meeting, like running out the meeting damn near because I couldn't do anything else but that because Narcotics Anonymous had got into me. You know, as much as I was talking about pretending and faking, at that moment, at that time, in that critical hour that could have landed me in jail or me dead, because obviously he's killing motherfuckers, he could have probably got another body and got me. You know, see, I want to talk all that tough shit, right? But the bottom line is that shit will turn on my ass, you know, and I could have been the one with the toe, right? The tag on the toe, for real. Because I ain't got no body, he do. I ain't got that shit in my life, you know, that ain't on my resume. I ain't no thug like that, you know, but because I felt as though this was supposed to be my honor, I was supposed to stand up tall for my family name. I was supposed to do this, and so I didn't. That's some of the stuff. Drugs don't get your lifestyle, Will, because I was fronting. But Narcotics Anonymous, at that moment, again, I needed to share. If you're new here, because I had kept coming back, I was clean about 7-8 years at that point in time. There was enough substance in me for me not to kill myself. By the way, and I say this, and people who have heard me share before know that I'm no thug. Okay, anybody who knows me knows I ain't no thug. Even though I pretended that when I was on the street, even though I pretended that when I came in here, I wanted to talk about I smoked Peru and I was dealing out of Turkey. You know, I don't want to tell you all that shit, how much shit I smoked and how much dope I shot. Bag at a time. Okay? If anybody in here had did to me on a daily basis for the amount of years that I was strung out, day in and day out, anybody in here right now who does this to me, what I did to me, I'd have to kill you. Okay, I would have to end your life, or you would do, or there would have to be some real serious confrontation. Because the way I went about killing me daily, spiritually, you know, emotionally, we talk about this as a threefold disease, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous. I remember coming in here clean and doing some things that was destroying my spirit in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. The first time I got on the NA News, right? Anybody been, y'all been on the NA News, right? Front page shit, right? Well, motherfuckers is talking about you, right? I hit this boy with a chair at a candlelight meeting. You know? I came up behind him. I didn't confront him man to man. I didn't come to his face. I went behind his back and hit him with a chair in a meeting. You know, destroying my spirit. There's been two other instances where I have fought. It wasn't too much of a fight because I'm not a fighter. I'm a sneak guy. I'm the guy that will sneak you. I'm the guy that will come up and not confront you one-on-one. I'm coming behind you from the side. That's my MO. So I remember doing that in an NA meeting on two occasions, destroying the atmosphere of recovery and also destroying my spirit. So if the drug don't get me, the lifestyle will, because it surely destroyed my spirit. You know, we talk about being dying a death. Man, I wish I should have, boom, I should have just did that. Because what I went through after that to repair that, people had to keep telling me, keep coming back, keep coming back. You know, and if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous telling me that, and me understanding, well, look, I got to keep coming back. If it wasn't for the hugs that people in Narcotics Anonymous kept giving me, then I wouldn't stand here today. If the drug don't get me, the lifestyle will. I remember my goal in recovery because I had reservations coming in. In spite of me being hit, I'm talking about. I weighed 163 pounds. I'm like a blow pop, right? When I'm a fucking skinny with a big ass head, you know. I'm like I'm fucked up, you know. That's how I was when I came in, 163 pounds. And I got a plan. And my plan is, when I get a year clean, I'm going to use again. Well, okay. And so what happened, I got robbed of a lot of stuff. Because I remember not doing any step work. I remember just showing up, saying, keep coming back and working, you know. Keep coming back, you know, at the end of the meeting, keep coming back, it works if you work it, bounce. Keep coming back, bounce, out the door. No fellowshipping. And there was, on some level, because I was still manipulating the women in the program, the men had put me on knockoff. Men wouldn't fuck with me. You know, the men would say, look, Mac, you either go, you know, go ahead, you want to keep doing that, you know, that's a newcomer, man. That's a newcomer. You know, leave her alone. And, you know, and I wasn't getting high, they was. You know, here it is. I tell my sponsor, says, what the fuck gives you the right to interfere with one of these people's lives? Or what gives you the right to destroy another person's life? Because I knew going in my whole agenda. I mean, you know, I got in here 2 weeks soon enough where I'm not drooling. I don't need a lobotomy. I can still read and write. I knew that there were certain things that I was doing that were flat out wrong. According to what you guys, the guidelines, some of the atmosphere of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. I knew. Drug don't get you, lifestyle will. I was dying spiritual deaths, and I was bringing people with me, just like I did in active addiction. That's my story here. So now I got this plan that I'm going to use, and then after a year, so I celebrated a year, and then 3 weeks after that, the mother of my children died. Up to this point now, I'm talking Gucci shit in the room, talking about how I need to establish this, reestablish this relationship with my children. I need to do this with my children, my children, my children. And by the way, when I did my first 4-step, didn't even include my kids. Didn't even include my kids. Thank God for sponsorship there. I had this money saved up, this plan, this plot, because I was going to go and purchase enough for me to use and for me to bring back to Altoona, PA, and I'm going to buy me a Benz with my proceeds, with the money that I make. I'm going to become a drug dealer. I've never been my story. I'm not a drug dealer. I use. If I get it on a payday before I got fired and wasn't able to work any longer through the progression, because I did have a job at one point in time, but then through the progression, I couldn't work, right? So now, but when I was working, I'd cop a little bit more, but with the intentions of, you know, being a drug dealer, but that never played out. So I'm in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous with that same plan. Drug don't get you, lifestyle will. And I remember now returning back home to Jersey, and now I'm living now I'm standing on the block. I'm clean, but I'm standing on the block. How you like me now, boys? Remember last time I was 163 pounds? You know, how you like me now? I was homeless, broke, busted, disgusted, tied, fried, and denied. But now I got a little clean time. My face been cleared up a little bit. I done washed my ass 2 days in a row. Now, you know, I got a couple pair of pants and, you know, that eventually caught up on me because I eventually used. That's my story. You know, if you're new here and you want to stay clean, they say people, places, and things. I don't know if we got any newcomers here, but if you're new, that if you're old and you've not experienced that, standing on the block has nothing to do with spiritual principles. I just don't see no spiritual principles. Because it wasn't like I was trying to recruit some people to the halfway house or the NA. You know, it wasn't like I was saying, here's this blue book over here. Here's the basic text. I wasn't saying that. I was standing there with the agenda to be cool, to be, you know, the boys. Woo! Mm. That was disastrous. Okay, so the drug don't get me the lifestyle will. All right, I shared with that piece. It now has taken on a new meaning for me. Yeah, the spiritual death, the manipulation, the dishonesty, the closed-mindedness, all of those things. But now it's taking on a new meaning for me because, you know, the physical aspect of my disease. During my active addiction, I put anything in me, didn't care about my body, didn't care about the way I looked, didn't care about my heart, my liver, my kidneys, okay, my weight. It's now taking on this new look for me, like they say, more to be revealed. I am really now conscious of my weight. I'm a black man, got to be concerned about high blood pressure. I'm not diabetic, but a lot of my friends are. A lot of people have grown into that. I've got my brothers who are also in these rooms. They've grown into some of these chronic diseases. And right now, I am trying to live. I am trying to not put everything in my body. First 5 years of my recovery, what's on my shopping list? Breyers ice cream and double stuffed Oreos. And I'm doing this shit within a, you know, I'm binging. I'm doing this shit within a day or two. Whole big double stuff. The single stuff ain't enough. And one is too many. 1,000 was never enough. I'd sit there and do the whole Breyers vanilla beans. Could anybody know anything about Breyers vanilla bean? When you get down to the end, that's when that bean start kicking in. That shit get real good. Now you got to go do another one. It's almost like that thing I was smoking in. Get it all in there. But when it gets down, you got to go do another one. If the drug don't get me the lifestyle of degradation, misusing my body. Let me tell you about, you know, I told you a little bit about my manipulation with women. I'm about 10 years clean. I go down here to Pittsburgh. My nephew, he's down there. And my nephew, man, he got a bunch of women that he, you know, in his support group, I don't know if there's two men. You know, he got women all up and down in his support group. So he introduces me to this woman. And she cute. She nice. We hook up. But she tell me that she got a disease. She tells me. I didn't do it anyway. So now I got it. You know, I got it. You know, in recovery. In recovery. You know, drug don't get you. Lifestyle. The lifestyle of just doing anything with my body. You know, I need to be mindful that, you know, God, you know, my third step talks a lot about following directions from the God I understand. My third step talks about me understanding God. My third step says to me that I understand God, and I understand that I don't know everything about what His will for me is. And I don't need to know, because Narcotics Anonymous has already told me more to be revealed. Keep coming. I don't need to know everything that God has planned for me, so I don't have to say God works in mysterious ways. Don't have to say that anymore, because I understand what God wants for me. I don't understand everything, but I understand what He does want. Don't want me to use, wants me, don't want me manipulating other people. He don't want me pulling people down. He wants me to help some people. You know, He wants me to do the next right thing. So, I don't know. You guys taught me that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that coming in here. Because I thought that God was mysterious. I thought that God had all of this, when you be levitating 6 inches off the ground and shit, you know, when you get that spiritual awakening, you know, that's what I thought, you know. So now, in my fourth step speaks to a lot of the things that are wrong with me. The text even talks about, you know, the purpose is to sort out that confusion. Why, Matt, am I in here, in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, fucking up my life? Why am I not improving the quality of my life in the rooms? I'm not strung out. You know, I need to do this inventory. The basic text talks about that. You know, and my fifth step allows me to have, like I told you before, when I did my first fourth step, I excluded, you know, I skimmed over that area that dealt with my children. The most precious things to me, the only things out here that really belong to me, for real, is my kids. And what my sponsor used to say was my most important job as a man. So why am I now in recovery avoiding the most important part of my life, of my recovery? Staying clean and being a good father. Why, you know, whoo. Denial is a wonderful thing. And I say that if you're new sarcastically. You know? My sixth step and my seventh step, as the text talks about, are those steps that can be like damn near hand in hand. And I found through that, like, those things in recovery that are interfering with my peace. That, you know, why is it that, you know, I'm still stumbling? Why is it that I'm not moving on, you know, because of these shortcomings, these defects? In my first step, by the way, I found out that, that's this statement that I was kept using. I kept using this statement like, God ain't going to give me nothing that I can't handle. God ain't going to throw nothing in my way that I can't handle. That's bullshit in my life. I don't know about your story, but my story says I have a disease I can't handle. And I cannot handle this shit on my own, because in my active addiction, trust me, I used for 4 decades, man. That's decades of 10 years. And all during that time, I didn't use with the intention of ODing. I didn't use with the intention of fucking up my life. I didn't use with the intention of losing my job, losing my home and becoming homeless, losing my family. That wasn't mine. I found out that powerlessness meant that I can't do it. So my second step talks about getting the power that's going to be greater than the disease and allow me to restore my life. Restore what? You know, we talk about that restoration. Restoration of what? What do I need to restore? Well, I don't know everything, but I do know some things. I know I needed to restore my self-respect and my dignity. You know, and by the way, I didn't get into no step work until all the guy had got hit with the chair and all that other shit. You know, like I was hearing Rhonda share about, you know, didn't get into no step work until later. That was my story too. You know, I was just coming around. But I found out that I needed to be restored to what? You know, there were some things that my life had before I used. I didn't start out shooting dope. That's not my story. That's not my first. You know, I got this thing called progression in my life. I progressed to shooting dope. I progressed to homelessness. But what happened before that? I had some dignity. I had some self-respect in what I thought anyway. It might have been grandiose. It might have been even less than. Because a lot of that, I fluctuated from that, you know, a lot, you know, because I fluctuated from thinking that I was better than everybody in America to that I ain't worth shit. And I found out that you guys told me that the spiritual foundation of all our tradition is autonomy. That means that ain't nobody in here less than me. Ain't nobody in here better than me. Greater than or less than, you know. And I didn't know none of this until Narcotics Anonymous gave me that touch. So, my second step talks about finding the power. So, these first two steps of my life allows me to no longer say, God ain't going to give me nothing that I can't handle. Because I find out real early, if I'm working a program, that there are things that I cannot handle and I need some help. And my third step talks about, and I mentioned earlier, about following directions from this power. Following directions from Narcotics Anonymous. Following directions from the God that I understand. Following directions from this group off drugs. However you want to put it, I don't know, because that's how I put it. Because I believe that God made people like he made me. See, when I had gotten to that point, I had stopped thinking that I was the only one because I had heard my story in Narcotics Anonymous, especially allowing me to work a second step. Because when I heard people sharing my story and I watched them with some joy in their life, when I watched them being free, I said, shit, if they can do it, then I can too. So I began to believe that, you know. So, that's kind of how it played out for me in terms of finding a power and recognizing that I don't have to do this by myself. And any attempt at doing this by myself is going to be fatal for me. Our text talks about self-reliance. Self-reliance, relying on self. Here it is. I tried that. I tried to get clean, stay clean by myself, and couldn't do that. And also, it required another power greater than me to get me into Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I had a black robe on. You know, standing up there with gravel. Said, motherfucker, you better get up here. Yeah, we're going to put your ass on the train. And then I remember the day that the judge, he slips me this paper. He says, okay, we're going to give you 6 days to leave Jersey. And here it is all this time, you know, prior to that, I got people saying, don't leave town. You can't go nowhere. You need to report to my office once a week. But now here it is. I got this guy, this judge that's got the love and says, here. You either you get the detox in here. We got this thing for you over here in Pittsburgh, and you know, you either do that or here's these numbers that you're gonna be living on this pod. And I told you, I know no thug. I ain't jailed ready. You know, I'm not one of them motherfuckers that can just go up into prison and talk about the tea is mine. You know, I know motherfuckers who can do that shit. You know, but that ain't my story. So I need to avoid all those people, places, and things. Again, I ain't really stupid. I for real. So you know, I'm just a drug addict. I'm just a drug addict who makes bad choices. I'm not stupid. You know, for real. If the drug don't get you, the lifestyle will. So, you know, that being destroyed in the rooms, and destroying others in the rooms is like a spiritual death for me. Right now, I am where I'm at today is I'm joyous, I'm happy, I'm free. I'm watching my diet. I told you when I came into this process, I was 163 pounds. When I decided that the Oreos, the double stuff, the Breyers, I was 263 pounds. Now I'm a slim 235, and I'm work in progress. And the bottom line is that I will continue. I will continue to work on my spirit. I will continue through the help, with your help. I will continue to work on my spirit. I will continue to work on my physical being. Again, I said I'm grateful to be breathing. Because last time I used, I OD. You know, last time I used, you know, I OD, you know. So I am so grateful. I guess that's all I got to share about this thing here. I guess I can go on and on and talk about my step work. But the topic here is, if the drug don't get you, the lifestyle will. Here's another, I'm going to share this and be quiet. Here's something that I have found that I need to be conscious of. And it's that same type of, you know, after the meeting, you know, everybody stand outside the church or the meeting place with everything, standing out there talking shit. You know, talking shit, talking war stories, because I tend to do that. I tend to be, and I need to be careful about, you know, after a meeting, you know, I need to be conscious of that. The other thing here is that I, just being here today was a commitment. When I talked to Drew and Eric, it was telling me about somebody didn't show up. Could you show up? And I was asking, well, am I really down? Do you want me to do this? You know, because what I needed to get locked into was that term, that phrase that we use in here called commitment. Because in the street, I had none. And today was really a tough day for me to make this commitment, because I am obsessed right now with golf, right? So, and I was really hitting them straight today, and I had to stop. To anybody know any golfers in here? See, he understands. Thank you, man. That golf is that thing, man, that I'm now obsessed with, man. And so I got to be careful of that, because it tends to take away my commitment in Narcotics Anonymous. I lost a area service commitment to golf, you know, because I wouldn't show up and commit to my area service duties because I was playing golf. You know, I just needed to get, you know, let that, you know, get free of that, you know. So now where's my other piece that right now in my life that I'm struggling with in terms of the drug don't get you the lifestyle will? That is my finances. I've never in the last 12 years had the kind of financial problems that I've got right now. My car blew up. I had to buy another car when I wasn't ready. So I had to take stuff out of savings and stuff to get a car. Wasn't ready. Then I went down to Reading, Pennsylvania on Monday, and I spent some quality time with my son and his fiance, and I acted like Big Willie and shit, you know. I'm spending money and bought a pair of shoes, and we, speaking of shoes, I got my, taking inventory, I got 82 pair of shoes. What kind of shit is that? I heard the sister talking about retail and being hooked on retail. You know, what kind of shit? I got two pairs of feet. I got two feet, rather. I walk on both hands. I got 2 feet, but 82 pair of shoes. If that ain't obsessive, especially for a man, I can understand a woman do that shit, man. You know, and that's out of control. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to come live with one of y'all if I buy one more pair of shoes, according to my wife. All right? Because I went down to Reading and did all this spending with my son, and he's a grown man. You know, I don't need to be doing all that acting Big Willie-ish with him. I'm his father. He's an adult. He's 30 plus years old. Why do I need to do that? Well, I got to act like, you know, that kind of shit. That same lifestyle, acting as if I got it. I remember coming up on the block acting as if I had it. I had bacon soda. I had nothing, you know. Again, I had nothing. So, and then I went and bought a pair of shoes. What kind of shit is that I'm living in today? I'm talking about today. I'm, you know, I ain't talking about yesteryear. I'm talking about currently in my life. So I'm glad I got a chance to share on this particular topic because, once again, it makes me cognizant of my life. That's my story. And you guys can help me out with that. And just by me mere bringing it here to the light of day allows me some freedom just for the day. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, I'd like to thank the speakers who shared. Could someone please...